This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brand. DQ University is a historic California college that you've probably never heard of. It was one of the first tribal colleges in the nation, and it's the only one in California.
Tradition forbids calling the school by its full name because the D comes from the name of an Iroquois prophet whose name must never be spoken out loud. The Q stands for Quetzalcoatl, that's an Aztec god, but whatever you call it, this school is in trouble. Tamara Keith of member station KQED reports.
A mural painted on the outside of DQ University's administration building says Home of the Struggle. Most people associated with this 35-year-old tribal college agree the school has been in a near constant state of struggle since it was founded. DQ was born out of the Native American civil rights movement of the late 60s and early 1970s. In 1970, Indian and Chicano activists jumped a fence and took control of an abandoned military post in rural Yolo County. Susan Reese is a former DQ University board member and a dedicated volunteer.
They came here, occupied the land, and then subsequent to that, they began this all-Native university.
Right now, DQ faces perhaps its greatest struggle of all. At this point, even calling it a university is a stretch. After years of instability, financial mismanagement, and sagging enrollment, last year DQ lost its accreditation. Now it's in debt. It doesn't have students or professors or even a president. Still, Reese remains stubbornly optimistic.
I akin this whole situation to someone in the emergency room. We're critical, but we're stable.
Basically, all DQ University has are its peach and white buildings and the land they sit on. Calvin Hedrick has been a member of the DQ University board for about a year. Standing near some abandoned cars parked in the middle of campus, Hedrick says he and other board members are dedicated to making DQ a real university again.
The board's here, the land's here, these buildings are here. So we're starting, you know, a tribal college from the remains of a tribal college in a sense.
For Hedrick, whose grandmother was active in the Indian education movement, DQ's current situation is a disappointment.
Something that has bothered me for years is that in the state of California, we have more American Indian people than in any other state. And yet when you look at some smaller states, South Dakota, Montana, Arizona, they have numerous tribal colleges, and we only have one, and it's struggling.
DQ never had more than 250 students at a time, frequently quite a few less. Like a majority of tribal colleges in the country, it was a two-year institution designed to give students a culturally sensitive education and prepare some of them for mainstream four-year institutions. But former board member Cindy Lamar says DQ never met its potential.
There was always turmoil. There was always contention between the students and administration and the board. So it's been a constant struggle for that school to remain a viable institution, and now it's not.
Nationwide, tribal colleges are thriving, says Deborah Cavett, head of the White House Initiative on Tribal Colleges and Universities.
The education that they provide to their students is very, very valuable as an engine for economic development in those communities. And I think there's a comfort level with many of the students who attend the tribal colleges that they are encased within their own culture as they start on a path toward a degree in higher education.
Cavett has sympathy for DQ's position. Still, she says at this point she can't step in and help because her organization is only allowed to work with accredited colleges. Instead, DQ's future depends on its board's current plan to team up with a local community college so it can start offering classes again and perhaps at some point regain its accreditation. For NPR News, I'm Tamara Keith in Sacramento.